And so the Israelites went on their journey. They went on their journey and lived in the desert. But what they longed for above anything else was a home. Jill said that the worst thing about camping was coming home. But actually, sometimes whenever you get home after the holidays, you think, oh, it's good to be home. I'm really glad to have my telly. I'm really glad to have Wi-Fi back. I'm really glad to have all the things that I really enjoy about home back here. And what we're thinking about this morning is not just the Israelites going on their wilderness journey, but we're actually thinking about what it means to be in a journey for all of God's people. And so we want to travel, but we also want to arrive. And so there's that sense of being on a journey, but arriving home safely. We're not thinking specifically about the passage that we read in Exodus, but we're rather taking a look at the big picture of God's people on our travels. Remember, we're looking at what it means to be a disciple, and one of the things that Jesus said was, follow me. Now, follow me means that you're moving. Follow me means that you're not staying in one place, or that at least you don't feel settled all the time. That goes way back to Abraham. And God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want to bless you, but I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your people. I want you to leave your household. And then generations later, what happened was that Joseph ended up in Egypt. And because Joseph went to Egypt, all his brothers joined him. And there, the community of God's people settled in Egypt, firstly made to feel welcome, but then after that, strangers in a strange land. And so the people were constantly moving. When they came out of Egypt, as we've been hearing, the people were promised a promised land. That was something that had been promised to Abraham centuries before. And they went back looking for that promised land. Eventually, they arrived at the promised land. They settled there. But when they'd settled for generations, they disobeyed God. And once again, the people had to leave home. They were exiled. And so right through the Old Testament, you have this sense of God's people wanting to settle, but always on the move. Wanting to settle, but always on the move. In the New Testament, Jesus warned his disciples. He said, effectively, his ministry would be an itinerant ministry. But he warned them, too, that they wouldn't have that settled feel. And so, right throughout Scripture, we have this sense of God's people on the move. We often use the cliche, if you like, of life as a journey. And it is a cliche, but it conveys that we are not meant to just settle down, that we are not meant to just feel comfortable. The challenge then for us from this scriptural view of always being on the move is the temptation to feel comfortable. One of the great things about a tent is that it's different from your big house, but right through the year, it can't be as comfortable as the two bedrooms, as the three bedrooms, as the whatever. And yet God challenges us to live constantly in the move. A writer from the 3rd century described Christians in these words. They live in their own homelands, but as foreigners. They share in everything as citizens, but endure everything as aliens. Every foreign country is their homeland, but every homeland is a strange country to them. They spend their time on the earth, but their citizenship is really in heaven. And so there's that refusal to get comfortable. In what ways might we get comfortable? Well, the area of finance is one. Just a couple of months ago, there was a feature in Christianity magazine, and in it, various Christians were interviewed about what it meant to them not to be comfortable financially. One of the people interviewed is somebody that I've quoted here before, a guy called Mez McConnell, who has founded a church planting movement called 20 Schemes. And he told the story of how one year his church, which doesn't have a big income, hit a real financial trough. And the treasurer stood up and said, "We are £12,000 down." The day after the treasurer made that announcement, a pastor from another church who knew absolutely nothing about the situation phoned Mez McConnell and said, "Our church wants to make a gift to your church of £12,000. Mez McConnell wrote, "The Lord never provides for a need that doesn't exist. The Lord is generous to those who are generous. I believe that. I think that many Christians and churches would probably see my view as unwise stewardship. I just don't see that. I look at the parable of the talents. I'm not the one who goes and buries it in the fields. I don't play it safe. The more generously we have given, the more generous the Lord has been to us." There's that refusal to get comfortable. There's that getting the coats on for Passover, always ready to say, "Where next, Lord? What are we going to do next?" Those of you who have been around our congregation for a long time will know some of the ways in which, in the past, we've been led to step out in faith. When Bob Cook was the treasurer, he challenged the board and said, "It's not right that as a congregation we should be keeping tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands in reserves. Let's get rid of our reserves and keep it down to a more manageable level." And we did, or you did at the time, and God blessed that. Then there was the refurbishment project. Where is the money coming from? Can we go ahead with this? The money came, but it was a big step of faith, and God blessed it. Those are part of our congregational history. But I wonder in what ways now we are being invited by God to be less comfortable, to step out, to say, "No, actually, we don't settle down. We don't say, that's it, we've arrived, we've made it." But rather, we're still traveling. So the challenges of a pilgrim are not to get comfortable, because you know you'll be on the move the next day. You know that you can't sprawl out, because God will challenge us to move on. Or it may not be about money. It may be about place. It may be God saying to somebody, "Actually, the time's come for you to move on. I'm calling you to a new job, to a new ministry, to a new situation." Why? Because we're pilgrims. The first element of being a pilgrim is a refusal to get comfortable, ready to move, ready to make ourselves uncomfortable, ready to be unsettled. But another element that we see throughout Scripture of pilgrims is that when they were in a place, they were called to bless that place. You think about Joseph. Joseph was in Egypt. He was a slave to Potiphar, and yet when Joseph was in Potiphar's household, he sought to be the best that he could for Potiphar. He sought to do all that he could for his master's household. He was faithful to Potiphar, even when Potiphar's wife tempted him. Then, whenever the people of Israel were exiled in Babylon, they were told, settle down in your new country. Plant trees. Be a blessing, even though you're captives in Egypt. Be a blessing to those people round about you. And so the challenge to us, as well as being prepared to be uncomfortable, is in what ways are we a blessing to the people around about us? Very often we measure things in terms of what effect will this have on our membership? What effect will this have on our finances? What effect will this have on the numbers on Sunday? But perhaps a more basic question would be, what effect will this have on blessing the people round about us? How will this be a blessing to Burnside? Over the past couple of weeks, various folks from here have been at Keswick. And the week before last, one of the speakers was a guy called John Rusbridger. And he told a story of how he had become convinced that God was calling their church to be engaged in the community. And there was this sense from some roundabout, not sure about that. Surely God's calling us simply to preach the gospel, and just being a blessing to the community is not enough. And John Rusbridger told of how whenever they started opening their church out to people for meals, when they started inviting people in, doing all sorts of things just so they could be a blessing to the community, they had far more opportunities to speak about Jesus than they'd ever had before, when they sought to be a blessing. Time after time in Scripture, God tells his people, be a blessing to those round about you. So as we think about being disciples and as we think about what it means to be pilgrims, one of the questions is, how can we be a blessing? Andy and Gary have been talking about a project where we do a community audit, seeing what's needed in the community and asking in what ways can we be a blessing to the community. I wonder, those of you who are doing reception duty for a birthday party, for example, how you think of it. It's great. I'm helping Una by doing Rota. I'm helping Kay by allowing our buildings to be used. But actually, by that very simple thing, by allowing a family to have a party in here, you're in a very small way being a blessing to the community. And so maybe the next time you're asked, can you do the route on such and such a date? Don't just think of it as, well, there's the church making another demand. But rather, it's, how can I be a blessing to the community? Of course, there's a temptation. The Israelites constantly faced this tension. On the one hand, they were told not to intermarry. They were told to keep themselves separate. But on the other hand, they were called to bless the community. And so there's the temptation on the one hand to be a hermit, to totally withdraw, and on the other hand, to just mix in with the culture. Say, we just do what everybody else does. Through Scripture, we are called to live in the world, but not be of the world. What does that look like? Well, it looks like getting involved, but also saying, there are some things, there are some lines that I won't cross. And so we're called to be distinctive. The thing about being a pilgrim, too, is that your surroundings are always changing. You're constantly on the move, so the environment in which you find yourself is constantly changing. The people moved through the wilderness, and they found themselves in different surroundings at different times. The people lived in exile, very different from living in the promised land. In the New Testament, Jesus told his disciples, just go to a town and stay in a house. And whenever people offer you hospitality, don't move from place to place, but just stay there. And so the environment is always changing. And the people are told, don't hold on to what was just past. Remember what got them into problems in the first place? We want to go back to Egypt. We wish we were living in Egypt. Egypt was far better than this. And God says to us, we have to be prepared to be a people who are always changing. Last Sunday night at Stonelaw, Alistair May was talking about the halcyon times for the Church of Scotland, the 1950s, but also the temptation to try to create or recreate the 1950s. God puts us in different places at different times, and the challenge is not to recreate, but the challenge is to live as God calls us to live now. Think of the generations of the Israelites. There were those who wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, and they were the generation that didn't make it into the promised land. Then there was the generation that moved into the promised land and became comfortable and became complacent, and eventually led to the exile centuries later. I wonder which we would prefer to be part of, the exile generation or the promised land generation. On the surface, it's easy. We want to be in the promised land. But God used the exile generation, even when they weren't conscious of it. And so, as we are pilgrims, the question is, how will we live? Will we live as pilgrims, constantly ready, refusing to be comfortable? Or will we live as people who are ready to be on the move, saying, I will bless the people that God has called me to bless here and now, but if God calls me to move on, I'll do that. Jesus said, take up your cross.